Chapter 15. By the time I got to the bridge, passing by a dozen crew members who were at the damage control stations and mostly busy trying to clean up the floating chunks, well, enough about that subject. By the time I reached the bridge, Bilby was back online. At first, all he did was send a brief message assuring the crew that the ship would be fully functional again, with restoring artificial gravity unfortunately near the bottom of the priority list. Sims was on the bridge, strapped into the command chair. During the crisis, she must have taken over from Reed, who had been duty officer at the time, if my memory is correct. Reed was in the lead pilot couch, watching her console booting up.
"Sir,"
Sims looked up from her phone.
"I've been trying to contact you."
"Yeah, comms are down all over the ship. Everyone," I raised my voice, "we are out of danger. We need to give Bilby time to get the ship back online, so please don't talk to him yet."
"What was the danger?"
Sims asked, holding up a hand so I didn't float past her.
"How did the ship perform an uncommanded jump?"
"I don't know what the problem is. Something that affected Skippy. He needed me to toss one of our Elder comnodes overboard." She raised an eyebrow, so I added, "I had to find the damn thing first. Anyway, it's gone now. The jump was my doing. The comnode was active, and I figured we needed to get far away from it." She shrugged.
"It's nice to know the backup command system works."
"That jump was the best I could do. There was no way to get precise position coordinates in time. To show the crew that I had full confidence in them, and because there literally was nothing useful for me to do, I went to my office." Sims had the bridge. She was better at managing people in stressful situations. "Bilby," I called as I pressed the button to close my office door and sat in my chair. The chair had a field that could hold the occupant in place, but the effect made my butt and legs tingle, so instead I tugged a strap loosely across my waist.
"Can you talk now?"
"Like I'm happy to, General Dude."
"What happened?"
"Don't know, you know? Skippy went linear, then he attacked me."
"Attacked you?"
"I wasn't serious." My fear had been that something inside Skippy would rebel at him helping us against the Elders.
"You're gonna have to explain that."
If Skippy really wanted me dead, I'd be a crispy critter, you feel me?"
Yeah. "Was it a freaking test?"
"No. I got the impression that he didn't want to attack me. Like it was one of his sub-minds doing it or something like that. Skippy was really struggling with whatever was going on with him. He asked me for help, then he went silent, then I got knocked partially offline. That was bogus, man."
"Is there anything I can do to help?"
I was asking that so often I should get it tattooed on my forehead.
"No, man, it's all good. The ship is restarting normally. Everything will be copacetic soon."
"Copacetic," I mouthed silently, wondering why Bilby decided to use that word. "Okay, well, I'll be here doing something, if you need me for anything." At that point, I considered playing a video game on my phone, since there wasn't anything else for the ship's captain to do. On the bridge, I would only get in the way of people working, but I was also part of the ship's crew. Going back into the passageway, I got a vacuum cleaner thing from a locker and joined two crew members who were mopping up the mess. It was an unpleasant task, but oddly, I found myself enjoying the experience. The people chasing chunks with me were a staff sergeant and a petty officer, and working with them brought me back to my roots as a grunt. At one point, I missed a floating blob that drifted away and clung to the sergeant's shoulder. For a moment, I instinctively felt a flash of panic that I was going to catch hell for being a lazy and clumsy E4. Good times. Actually, although I later decided that fighting in the Nigerian jungle was a pointless exercise, the experience of serving with Cornpone, Ski, and Sergeant Coke was one of the best times of my life. That was before I realized our command had no freaking clue exactly what the U.S. military was supposed to accomplish in Nigeria, other than showing the public back home that we were doing something, even if it was stupid. Anyway, I felt like Ski and Cornpone were my brothers. Even Greg Coke felt like an older brother. A stern older brother who was quick to kick my ass if I got out of line, or more often if I did something dumb that put me or others in danger. And Sergeant Coke saved my life more than once, and he was a model for how to be a sergeant in the United States Army.
That knowledge served me well when I led a fireteam on Paradise during the brief time before the Burgermeister got me in trouble and I got shipped off to Fort Arrow. That pissed me off at the time. Instead of leading the fireteam, I got stuck acting as a convoy escort, even though I not only didn't do anything wrong, but was actually following orders direct from UNIF. It had felt like a demotion, and the people around me at Fort Arrow all assumed I had screwed up big time to get transferred there. Arrow was considered a low-risk area, so the people assigned there tended to have political connections back home. Powerful people who wanted their family members to stay out of danger. Or a person could get assigned there if they couldn't be trusted to work someplace important. I had hated the looks I got from the real soldiers who cycled through the base. They all assumed I was either taking advantage of my 15 minutes of fame for capturing a Ruhar on Columbus Day, or I couldn't handle being in a combat zone. Why was I thinking back to those days while I worked to vacuum up blobs of puke that were floating in the zero gravity? Because the Joe Bishop at Fort Arrow, and before that in the Ruhar farming village of Tescor, and before that at the UNEF base on Camp Alpha, is the real me. A grunt. A guy who sort of struggled to finish high school and signed up for the Army because I liked being outdoors and because I needed money for college. And also because I didn't know what else to do with my life. That's the real me. The Joe Bishop BS. By BS, I mean before Skippy. Yeah, since I met the beer can, we had done incredible things together, that's true. But without him, I'm just a guy who got promoted to colonel as a publicity stunt. Skippy might tell you, if he wasn't too busy being an asshole, that without the crazy ideas that get dreamed up by my squishy monkey brain, he wouldn't be as magnificent as he has become. We make a good team. That's something I really miss. A lot. Being part of a team. The problem with being commander of the Special Mission Group, or Task Force Black, or the Merry Band of Pirates, is that I'm the leader, the coach, the general. Over the years, I have developed a close relationship with my team, but they are my team. There is always a distance between me and the people under my command. Jeremy Smythe and I have served together for years, and off-duty we can mostly relax, but we both know that when we're away from Earth, we're never truly off-duty. Jennifer Sims was my closest friend aboard the ship, or she was the closest I have to a human friend. She is a friend. I care about her a lot. And I would order her into combat if that's what I thought I needed to do. She would go, even if she disagreed with my reasons or reasoning. She would go because she had to, even if she thought my orders were stupid and would get her killed for nothing. In a relationship with such a huge power imbalance, there will always be a distance, a tension that works against building true friendships. The reason Jennifer and I had become more than co-workers is mutual respect, and her trust that I would not order her or anyone else into combat without a damned good reason, and not until I had considered all the alternatives. Anyway, the people I worked with right then knew I was commander of the Special Mission Group, but rank tends to be less of a barrier when all of you are vacuuming up floating chunks, you know? Sir, incoming! Petty Officer Perez warned as a floating blob approached my head. I see it! I ducked out of the way, pushing off toward the floor. Uh-oh. What? You feel that? Perez paused, reaching out to caress the wall with fingertips. His hand slid slowly down. I do. Gravity's coming back on. He shrugged. That'll make it easier to clean up this mess. It will all be on the floor, I said. That and... Perez pointed toward the end of the passageway where a low door was sliding open. A cleaning bot was activating, waiting for gravity to reach the level where its rollers wouldn't lift off the deck. Now, Skippy's little elf bots can finish the job for us. When gravity reached 30% of Earth normal, Elfbots did come scurrying out of their little hidey holes all around the ship to fix the problem created by the squishy biological crew. One bot rolled past me while I returned the vacuum to its locker, and I swear that bot's single glowing red eye stared at me with disgust. Sometimes smart machines can be too smart. Instead of going to the bridge, I went to my office because Skippy called me. Joe, he whispered in my earpiece, we need to talk. That, by the way, is always a fantastic way to begin a conversation. It puts the other person at ease. Not. I'll be in my office ASAP. No rush, Joe. Paris, Kaminsky, stand down.
I instructed my cleaning partners. We monkeys will just smear the rest of this around to make it harder for the bots to do their job. I'm not going to argue with you, sir, Perez grinned. Then he almost stepped in something. In my office, that time not needing a seatbelt to keep my ass in the chair, I closed the door. How are you, buddy? Joe, I feel like I ate the worm. Uh-oh. Shit, the computer worm? No, dum-dum, I mean the worm in the bottom of a bottle of tequila. Oof, that is a bad memory. You have a nasty hangover, huh? I have the worst hangover. I have pain in parts of me that I didn't know existed. Yeah, sounds like basic training. Is there anything I can do to help? What helps you when you have a hangover? Lots of Gatorade or an IV drip, and sleeping in a quiet place. Those won't work for me. Darn it. I'll just have to power through. What the hell happened? You know how you shouldn't answer a call when your phone's caller ID says telemarketer or spam risk? Oh, shit. What did you do? What I shouldn't have done, clearly. In my defense, that phone had not received a call in a very long time, so I answered it out of curiosity. I'm guessing the call was not someone trying to sell an extended warranty. It was not. Joe, the phone that rang was the Collective. Oh my god. I thought that whole freaking network was dead. Not dead. Disabled. Deliberately fried by the other side during the war, so my side couldn't effectively coordinate our actions. Okay, so apparently someone called in a repair ticket. A repair that took millions of years for the technician to show up. Sounds about right. Although, usually they have to come back later because the part they need isn't in their truck. I'm trying to be serious, Joe. What he said made me stop making jokes, and the way he said it sent a chill up my spine. He was tired. Dead tired. Like millions of years of loneliness and struggle and heartache of losing so many friends in combat had finally caught up with him, and he didn't know how to deal with it. Couldn't deal. I'm sorry, buddy. Tell me more, please. The Collective became active again. Another AI called you? No, Joe. The call was from the Elders. The Elders called you? Yes. OMG. That was my first thought, yes. What did they say? Oh, they wondered how I'm doing and asked if my cousin Bobby is ever getting married, and they didn't actually call me numbskull. I figured that, but they ordered anyone capable of responding to report on the current situation. It was a command sequence, a standard status update protocol we used regularly in the Collective, but never in response to a query from the Elders, and never to contact them. What did you do? Well, I sure didn't tell them everything is fine here, like your idiotic suggestion. Probably a good idea. I refused to reply is what I did. That didn't go well? It did not. They know you refused to comply with their orders? I don't think so. The Collective is currently a one-way communication system, at least in terms of message traffic with the Elders. The command sequence I received included instructions on how to contact them, which involves using the signal system inside a wormhole. I couldn't have replied right then, even if I wanted to. Then what happened to the ship? To you? Bilby told me you attacked him? That wasn't me. It was an autonomic response, like a reflex. My failure to comply with commands from my creators triggered some hidden protocol inside me that tried to take over my matrix. Like that damned computer worm that almost killed you? Not as sophisticated. More of a glitch than a killer program. Kind of like some of my subsystems couldn't believe it when I refused orders, so they tried to handle the task on their own. I got control of them quickly, not fast enough to prevent shutdown of the ship and the attack against Bilby. It wasn't anything serious. Yeah, he said that. It felt serious to us. That part was unfortunate. It was not any fun for me either. How did that freaking comm node in our cargo bay activate by itself? The Elders can turn it on remotely? They can't. Well, shit, now you've got me worried about that. I don't think they can do it. Crap. Should we just eject the rest of them? No! Do not do that, we might need them. Hey, if the stupid things can wake up on their own and... It didn't! Damn, if you will shut your pie hole for one freaking second... Sorry. That comm node was already active because I was running an experiment with it. You what? Listen, Knucklehead, I need that thing to listen for signals from other Elder AIs.
When did you plan to tell me, you ass? You wonder why I don't tell you things, then you act like this when I do. It's about trust, Skippy. Exactly. I couldn't trust you wouldn't go all namby-pamby about the risk I was taking and demand I shut down the... Hell yes, I would. Hence why I didn't tell you about it. I can't believe you did this. Hey, I learned it from you. And Smythe, mostly from you. There is no way you learned to be an irresponsible jackass from... I learned it is better to ask forgiveness than to ask for permission. Shit. I slapped my forehead. Isn't that what you military people always say? Yes. Damn it. But if I asked for permission every time I wanted to try some super dangerous thing, we would never do... Maybe I shouldn't have said super dangerous. You think? The point is, I needed to do this. He was right that the military teaches us, unofficially, that it is better to ask forgiveness than to ask for permission. Meaning it's better to act and maybe get yelled at than to request a proposed action and wait forever while it gets routed up 15 levels of approval until it is overcome by events. Not all military organizations appreciate lower-level personnel taking initiative. My experience is with the United States Army, and I know that is also how most NATO countries are trained. Other nations have a more top-down approach where they want soldiers to do what they are told, and any kind of initiative is discouraged. Sometimes taking initiative is even viewed as insubordination and punished. The U.S. Army is mostly a maneuver force, and maneuver combat is so fluid that you have to trust your people in the field to make decisions on the fly. The commanders state their intent, and it's the responsibility of the leaders in the field to make it happen however best they can. Why was I thinking about geeky military policy details right then? To remind myself that our situation was also fluid, and that regarding any type of Elder technology, Skippy was my soldier in the field. I had to at least listen to whatever bullshit justification he cooked up. Hey, I was still a proud member of the E4 Mafia. Cooking up bullshit justifications for knuckle-headed things was my wheelhouse. Skippy, I'm listening. Why did you need to leave an Elder comm node active? In case some other Elder AI tried to send out a signal. What? Remember I was concerned that Opie might have been attempting to contact Elder AIs, the ones on the other side of the war, and to locate AIs that were on my side so it could target them? Yeah, but the Collective is offline. Until the Elders fixed it, or whatever they did. The Collective is the best method for communication, but not the only one. Admittedly, it was a long shot, Joe. Kind of an early warning system. You probably think it's dumb to... I don't think it's dumb. If you had told me you thought it's a good idea to, like, leave the phone turned on in case anyone calls, I would have agreed. You would? Sure. Like you said, it's a long shot, but that sort of thing is low probability, high risk. If other AIs like you are active out there, we need to know about it. In that case, I should tell you that I just activated another comm node. Holy... You are totally not able to learn from your mistakes. Are you out of your freaking mind?
Nope. And if you will calm down for a minute, I can explain.
The comm node I now have active is blocking any signals on the channel the Elders used, so there is no further danger to us.
Really?
Really.
You're sure about that?
You are questioning my knowledge of Elder technology.
I'm questioning your common sense. You're doing something like blocking the frequency the Elders used?
Not exactly, but go on.
How can you be sure the Elders won't just try all the other frequencies?
You are such a numbskull. A comm node isn't a crude radio. It doesn't use frequencies like you think. The way it is set up now, it can only connect to alert me that signal traffic exists. I can choose to look at messages or not. If I do want to look at a message, it goes into a disposable submind I created in a sandbox, so there is no opportunity for malicious code to attack me, he said with smug self-satisfaction.
You are truly awesome.
Well, that is true, and it's good that you finally recognize...
One question, please. The Elders didn't hack into you. They just sent a command code, right? The problem was your own internal reaction to receiving that command.
Correct.
So what happens if you ask your submind about the message and it relays another command code?
That is not a problem.
I would like to know a little more detail about how the thing that caused the ship to shut down and made you attack Bilby is not a problem.
It's not a problem because I am no longer the gullible dumbass I was back in the day.
Back? I stared at him in disbelief, and it takes a lot for him to surprise me.
Back in the day? That was an hour ago.
An hour to you, numbskull?
Oh, trust me, the elders had their shot and they wasted it. They won't catch me unaware again, those bastards.
Joe, I can see you're skeptical. The submind can only relay to me a summary of a message, not the content. The submind itself won't react to a command. It's not capable of doing anything other than the limited set of instructions I programmed into it. Trust me on this, please. I am horribly embarrassed by how I fell apart from a simple old command. No fucking way am I ever letting something like that happen again.
Okay. I'm gonna trust you.
That's good, because while we have been wasting time with the blah blah blah, my submind detected more message traffic through the comm node.
The elders are trying to get a response again?
No, the message is from an elder AI.
His avatar shuddered.
There is another of my kind awake out there.